Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It's wonderful to see such a good crowd here today for a very important subject and a very important speaker. And I want to welcome you here. And just a word to start with: the Beef Export Federation is a combination of the producer, the packer, the government, and the other people that are involved in the industry, like banks and what have you. And that's as far as I'll go in introducing the subject. The subject is the future of the beef export in Canada and abroad. Is that right, Ted? Yeah, okay. A couple of housekeeping items. These chairs you're sitting in is going to cost you $8. Please gather it up, somebody at each table, and have it ready. And I want to welcome the Shaw TV. They're one of the sponsors of this, as well as the university, and all of the volunteers that have a lot to do with making it work. So now let me introduce our speaker. Our speaker today is Ted Haney, president of the Canada Beef Export Federation. He was raised in Southern Alberta on a mixed farm, graduated from the University of Alberta in 1982 with a Bachelor of Science in Agriculture, and again in 91 with a Master of Science in Agriculture Economics. He worked as an agriculture consultant in Canada and Asia. He was in Burma for 2 years, and he currently lives in Calgary, is married, has three lovely children, and a wife who does a lot of help in looking after them. Ted, you're on.
I'd like to thank the Southern Alberta Council on Public Affairs for inviting me again to come and speak. The last time I was here was just about 10 years ago, and I was asked to talk about how the North American Free Trade Association may affect our industry, our ability to trade not just to the United States, but to Mexico and other countries as well. A lot's changed in the last 10 years. I'd like to say right up front that in everything we do, I want to lead with saying I really congratulate and really point out the great strengths of the Canadian cattle producers, not just here in Southern Alberta and Alberta, but across Canada. The strength of our industry has always been based upon the strength of our cattle, the genetics and the production system, the professional management, feeding. We deliver the best cattle to packers anywhere in the world, I believe, and it's that base of competitiveness that has allowed us to promote our products effectively around the world. And I never like to leave that unsaid. Without a very strong production sector, there's no chance we could be successful anywhere. The Canada Beef Export Federation is a non-profit industry association. Again, it's an odd one because there's at the same table cattle producers, beef processors and packers, governments, as well as key industry suppliers. So needless to say, we don't have consensus on every issue that we address, but the discussions are certainly lively, and it's one of the few places that all of the interests of the industry come together. And it's because the Federation focuses on something of particular interest to all of the industry and to our country, and that's export market development. Our focus as an organization is developing markets for Canadian beef outside the United States, with a special focus on Asia and Mexico. And in fact, our exports to Asia and Mexico since the Federation was formed in 1990, have increased consistently at an average rate of 28% a year between 1990 and 2002, before our troubles. We've outpaced all of our international competition during that period of time, and the Federation and the entire industry has established a track record that really has been enviable. In 2002, the year before BSE, Canada's exports to Asia and Mexico increased by 10% to 126,000 tons, almost $500 million. It was our best year, and exports, continued to increase during the first 5 months of 2003. In that first 5 months of 2003, our volume to Asia and Mexico was up 9%. Our value per kilo increased, so that our total value of exports actually increased by 23% during that period of time. Our world changed on May 20th. Our export world changed on May 20th, 2003, with the announcement or diagnosis of the first indigenous case of BSE in Canada in a 6-year-old animal. All markets, officially or unofficially, closed to our industry. For processed beef, for live cattle of all kind, we came to a screaming halt. Export stats in that year clearly indicate the damage. While we were up 9% during the first 5 months, when we looked to the end, we only had a 50,000 ton export history, our export performance to Asia and Mexico. So significant decrease. And the United States had nothing until much later into 2003. I have to say that both government and industry committed to doing what was required to get back into trade. The very quick and efficient response to the BSE crisis, whether that was the original investigation that saw daily briefings to the world on as each stage of the investigation was completed, and then the subsequent new interventions that we took. We increased our BSE surveillance in Canada from very low levels, levels that still exceeded international requirements, to over 40,000 head last year. This was required to prove to ourselves and to the world that while we do have BSE, it exists at very low levels in our country. As well, in July of 2003, Canada took the step to remove all specified risk materials. These are the materials within cattle that can carry infectivity of BSE. We removed them from the human food supply completely so that any product sold out of our industry did not carry known risk of BSE. So this clearly made it an animal health issue, not a food safety issue. Canada has continued to meet all of the international requirements for BSE treatment, and currently the international, the World Organization for Animal Health would recommend today that any country can import all edible beef products derived from all ages of cattle from Canada without introducing risk to humans or risk to their animal production system. One area that we haven't completed on, and that's a further expansion of our animal feed system. In January of 2005, the Government of Canada announced that they planned on expanding the feed ban, taking more of those risk materials out of the feed system. In 1997, we banned the feeding of ruminant products, of bovine or cattle, meat and bone meal, to other cattle. That was a very efficient barrier at transferring the disease out into our industry. But this next step would take those risk materials out of the rendering system completely. That's still in debate. It's been hotly contested in our industry. Different parts of the industry really view whether it's increased cost or whether it's excessive elimination of risk. These are really being debated. But the Government of Canada said they'll complete that by December, and I think that will help open more markets as well. But the steps we have taken and the adherence to science that we have demonstrated has had a very positive effect. In 2004, last year, Canada exported beef to 70 countries, 455,000 tons, $1.9 billion going to these markets, almost equal to our export success pre-BSE. And in the first half of this year, it's been even better. Our exports have gone to 68 countries, totaling just about 250 million tons, again at a pace that will take us right on to our 2002 overall record so far. That said, we're still short of our major markets in Asia. Japan, South Korea, Taiwan, China are all closed, as well as the smaller markets such as Thailand, Indonesia, and Malaysia. Asia has a shortfall in their beef import needs. Currently, with the absence of Canada and the United States, we believe that Asia's shortfall is about 600,000 metric tons, and likely their shortfall is as high as 800,000 metric tons. That's the tremendous market potential that we have to return to. Technical and political negotiations are ongoing in all of the key markets. We do believe we'll have resumption of trade throughout as early as the end of 2005 and through 2006, our major Asian markets will open. The International Organization for Animal Health, or the OIE, revised its international guidelines in May of this year, and those are already proving to be helpful in regaining access to many markets around the world. While our ability to export beef has largely recovered, although not to all the markets that we want to be in, wholesale beef prices have recovered to about 90% of pre-BSE levels. Clearly, the recovery in beef prices did not initially translate into a recovery of cattle prices because of the chronic oversupply of cattle against the restricted beef processing capacity we had in Canada. In July of this year, with the restricted opening of the U.S. market to Canadian cattle under the age of 30 months for slaughter and for feeding, it has reduced the price pressures in Canada to a large degree. Currently, right now, Canadian feeder cattle are selling at about a 20% discount to the United States, Canadian fed cattle about a 10% price discount to the United States. But because the U.S. market only opened to animals under 30 months of age and did not open to breeding cattle, those prices for those cattle are much more discounted. Last week, Canadian cows were being sold for approximately 45% less, for 45% less value than the same animals in the United States. So we still have work to do in that market. The situation of this chronic oversupply was really resulted in the Canadian industry and government creating and then focusing on a made-in-Canada solution to the long-term BSE crisis. And that requires really two primary goals, achieving two goals. One is to become self-sufficient in beef processing capacity so that if live cattle exports to the United States are interrupted again, it will not precipitate a crisis like we experienced over the last 2.5 years. I want to be very clear. If Canada was self-sufficient in beef processing capacity going into the BSE crisis, the crisis would largely have been over by December of 2003. We were able to export beef to many, again, 70 markets around the world, although not all the markets we wanted to be in. It was the cattle side of our industry that was in crisis. So that it was that imbalance that was a problem. That focus is being acted upon. We went into the BSE crisis able to process about 3.5 million cattle a year. Currently, we've been able to increase that to be have a capacity of just over 4.5 million cattle per year. By mid-2006, Canada will be in a position to process just over 5 million cattle per year, which is equal to or just above our supply of cattle on an annual basis. That represents a real reduction in our overall risk. We have found it's much easier to maintain and reestablish export access for processed beef, and it's much more difficult. It's much more difficult for live cattle because of the politics, because of the inherent risk of an animal versus beef, and quite frankly, as we move toward removing our dependency on exporting live cattle, our industry is in a much better position. Because our capacity is increasing, our export members this year established a goal of increasing our beef our processed beef exports from that 500,000 tons where we'll likely reach this year and where we were before BSE to 800,000 tons of beef exported around the world by 2015. And as well, about 700,000 tons of that would be reached in 2010, and about 600,000 tons, they're saying, will be reached next year. So it's a very aggressive growth in overall exports, but more importantly, our export members have told us that they plan on reducing the processed beef export dependence on the United States down to 50%. Into BSE, we are exporting approximately 70% of our beef to the United States, in addition to so many live cattle. Coming out of this, our industry says they don't want to have overall dependency on the U.S. above about 50%. So the challenge we have today is to profitably diversify our exports, increase the overall volume of exports, and derive more value from a lower risk and a more diverse portfolio of markets. Assuming that we'll be able to maintain our higher consumption of beef in Canada, really we believe that an additional 400,000 tons of beef will be exported in just 3 years. As we move ahead to our challenge really is to make sure that we don't fall into some of the past patterns that created the circumstance of crisis. Going into BSE, we exported, on average, about 1 million cattle to the United States. We processed 3.5 million, and we exported about 1 million cattle. We can't simply, now that the border's open, fall back into that same pattern, because the U.S. cattle producers are in a position to challenge access on live cattle. U.S. cattle producers, such as those who are members of RCAF, cannot challenge access for processed beef. That's the way their legal system works. Better that we move our product in the form of beef rather than in live cattle. Secondly, though, simply replacing that million head of cattle with instead of sending the live cattle, processing them in Canada and sending an extra 400,000 tons of beef to the United States really is not a viable long-term strategy either. If we intend to more than double our exports to the United States, beef exports to the United States in a short period of time, I think we could be assured some form of trade action, some form of disruption would likely be presented at our doorstep, something, quite frankly, we must avoid. And so the Federation has been asked to revise its plan of facilitating exports of 300,000 tons of beef to markets outside of the United States by 2010, increasing that to 380,000 tons and to really focus on getting that done as fast as we can. For the tools, what do we need to do that? The Federation has been successful in securing 10 years of assured funding. Federal government has contributed $50 million to the Beef Legacy Fund, and the Alberta government has contributed $30 million to the BSE Legacy Fund. The Federation will use about half of that over the next 10 years to augment or increase our retail and food promotion activities in key markets to make sure that we're able to promote the product that we want to sell through supermarkets and through restaurants and hotels to consumers in our key markets after access is reestablished. So, on for a little look at some of the key markets that have given us relief and markets that are still a challenge to us. The first I want to talk about is in Mexico. Mexico has proven itself to be the number one friend of Canadian beef, period. They were the first country to indicate a willingness to reestablish trade in Canadian beef. That was in July of 2003. They were the first to request a resumption of trade in live breeding cattle. And at the very beginning, they had asked to establish a much wider base of trade than what many other countries were even thinking about. Unfortunately, the U.S. has proved to be a bit of a spoiler in Mexico's intentions to import both live cattle and a broad range of processed beef from Canada. United States legal interpretations has said if Mexico imports any beef products from Canada that the U.S. is not already importing, the United States would decrease Mexico's BSE status to that of Canada's and suspend imports of Mexican live cattle. So it's a trade threat. It's a trade threat that lives in U.S. law. It's a trade threat that has been used. There have been several commitments over the last year and a half for the U.S. to revisit that legal interpretation, but the U.S. government has not got that job done, and basically Mexico has been given the choice. Import a wider range of products from Canada and stop sending your 1.5 million cattle to the United States, or just follow the U.S. Well, Mexico has taken what's in their best interest. They've followed the U.S. But interestingly enough, there's a twist on that story. When the U.S. had their first case in December, and immediately went to Mexico and said, we want to resume trade to you. Mexico said, if you wanted trade leadership before, you're going to have trade leadership now. Mexico's import policy has been very clear. They will only give access to the U.S. for those products that the United States is already importing from Canada. So for the first time, Mexico gave the United States economic